Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Didn't do what Swaggy P do. Teammates played great, and we came out with the victory, you know?
I'm trying to really get my NBA 2K rating up.
I just can't take it.
You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by BetMGM and Monkey Knife Fight. It's Friday, February 5th, 2021. Alex Barutha here with Shannon McEwen, and on the line is Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
You can find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, RotoWire.com, and now YouTube for the video podcast. So we're going to kick things off right away with the news. Christian Wood yesterday suffered an ankle injury during the win over the Grizzlies. It sounds like he'll be out for a while. He was out due to the same injury, essentially, less than 3 weeks ago. I think the obvious add is DeMarcus Cousins off of waivers. We barely even need to mention that. Ken, do you think there's anyone else to consider? I mean, maybe David Nwaba, or is this just a situation where the guys like John Wall, Eric Gordon, they just see more touches?
I have an unknown name for you. Jason Tate, only 5% rostered in leagues. He's averaged 6.8 boards over the last four games, and that's with Wood. Yahoo, he's a guard. He's been playing forward for the Rockets. Anyway, I think Tate's coming off a 19-7 boards, 2 assist game last night. Obviously, that's a career high for the 25-year-old rookie. But I'm going to take a flyer on Tate in one of my leagues. I just picked him up in one of my redraft leagues, and they've got four games next week, so what the heck.
Yeah, I agree with Ken. Tate's a good option. Yeah, in deeper leagues, 10-team leagues, probably not deep enough for Tate. Some 12-team leagues, maybe. I do own him in one league that we're all in together. He started like 10 of the past 11 games for the Rockets. He's pretty much locked into the starting lineup, even after House returned. Tate still remained in the starting lineup. Without Wood, I'm just going to assume they're going to play pretty undersized. Tate's not big. He's only 6'4", 6'5", but he plays bigger than that.
A lot of stocks.
Yeah.
1.9 steals and blocks per game over his last 12. And you nailed it, Shannon. Actually, he started 11 of the last 12.
And he can't, you know, he can hit three-pointers. He doesn't hit a ton. But, you know, he'll get some steals, some blocks, some threes. Decent rebounder for a guy who's 6'4", 6'5". I don't think the numbers are going to be eye-popping. But, you know, it locked into the starting lineup and possibly seeing 32 minutes a game with Wood out, he is a deeper option. But like Alex said as well, Cousins is really the big get. And I was going to mention Cousins later on, but he doesn't really meet our criteria for waiver wire picks. He is available in about 35% of Yahoo and ESPN leagues. So even if you're in shallower formats, Cousins is worth a pickup while Wood is out.
Especially center hungry leagues. Hey, kudos to the Rockets. All this crazy turmoil down in Houston. They're 11-10. Let's give it up for rookie head coach Steven Silas. I got to ask. I know we're on the Wood injury, and Alex, maybe you've got more info when he's expected back. But do you guys think the Rockets are going to deal Victor Oladipo?
It sounds like there's a good chance they will, because I don't think ownership there wants to pay the luxury tax. And if he's on a max deal and Christian Wood's making the money that he's making and John Wall is there, that's a lot to pay. At the same time, I think they probably should keep him because I don't know what you're doing if your team is John Wall, Christian Wood, and a bunch of like no names.
It's a weird timeline, isn't it? Like, what is their timeline?
No idea. So I think they kind of want to trade him, but I don't know if there's a market there that makes sense. And also letting him go for nothing is terrible. We have the All-Star game approaching March 7th. Shannon, do you think all three Nets stars should be voted in?
It's tough. I need to know how many games each have played. I think games played should factor into it. I don't know. It's tough. On one side, I just want to see the best players, and those are three of the 25 best players in the league. So I want to see all three of them there. But I also feel like it should be earned. And I don't know that they will all play enough games, for all three of them to make it, specifically Durant and Kyrie. Let's see. But I guess I'm leaning more towards they all three should be in because they're just so damn good.
Here's how I feel about the All-Star game. Boo, this is stupid. There's no reason to have this game. Why should the NBA want to place additional pandemic risk on their biggest stars? I agree with LeBron on this. He said, quote, "I have zero energy and zero excitement about an All-Star game this year. I don't even understand why we're having an All-Star game. These guys should be hermetically sealed and not traveling to Atlanta. Every regular season game played this season is a victory. This is total nonsense."
Yeah, I agree. Nick and I talked about this on the last pod where essentially, like, I thought the energy for this game would be really low, and that's kind of what it sounds like. So I don't really know what's going to happen when we see this as the game itself. And like, I think the skills challenge is going to happen. I haven't read that much into it, but I feel like it'll be less, in recent years, it's been good because of the Elam ending and it's kind of picked up steam, but I don't know about this year. Speaking of coronavirus concerns, Seth Curry was pulled from Thursday's loss to the 76ers. Who'd they lose to? The Trailblazers.
Blazers.
No
Damon Lillard. No Lillard, no McCollum. Blazers.
Yeah. So he was pulled and it was called an illness. But from what Coach Doc Rivers said, which was he just looks tired and he's looked like that for a while. So we just need to be safe. We're in uncharted waters with all this stuff. He said he didn't feel great. That's what we needed to hear. We just have to be very careful right now. And Curry himself said, "Some days I feel good. Some days I'm sluggish. It's like I got a nap all day. So it's weird." Yeah. This doesn't sound great for Curry, who had coronavirus. He was out for the 2 weeks, I think. And we've seen other players deal with this too. Like Mo Bamba, especially, who is having he couldn't play in the bubble. I think he tried to play in the bubble and they just like sent him home.
Has he had the virus for 3 years?
Yeah. So, some may say Mo Bamba is patient zero. This is just concerning for Curry. I don't know. I mean, if you have him in fantasy, you just hold him. Like, I don't think you do anything drastic, like drop him. But this is a concern for anybody.
Would you drop him for Shake Milton, your guy?
I would consider it. I don't know. That's kind of like, I feel like that's almost lateral. Like, I think by the end of the year, that wouldn't do a ton for you. But this is just something to keep in mind. Like, if you have someone in a, that ends up getting coronavirus, they could, even when they come back, it could be slow for them.
I would absolutely make that move, Ken. I would drop Curry for Shake Milton in a heartbeat. Even prior to the illness, Curry was solid. He was good, but I don't think he has really stepped up in the fashion that most expected when he went to Philadelphia. It was kind of assumed that he was going to take over that starting role and be able to chuck up a lot of threes. He has, he's playing 27 minutes per game. He has started every single game that he's played, but the production just isn't there. He's essentially doing the exact same line that he had last year in three less minutes per game. And even then, even last year in most standard 10 and 12 team leagues, he was like a fringe player last season. In those normal sized leagues, I just don't think he's worth holding on to. I would cut bait and find someone else.
Tell us about other guard news, Alex.
Yeah, Matthew Dellavedova, someone who, Ken, we've talked about this before, but someone who always pops up on the injury report, and I have to write about them every single day. Dellavedova.
Deli.
He may actually have to retire.
Outback Jesus. No.
Yeah, concussion symptoms. He has a history of concussions, and it's been 2 months since he initially suffered the concussion. The symptoms have reportedly persisted to the point where he's unable to work out, and the report characterizes the possibility of an unwanted retirement is on the table, if not likely.
Bummer. You know, if Deli were to retire now, for Australian players in the NBA, he'd rank fourth in career assists and sixth in career points. Though I had to tweak those rankings. Do you know what star player was technically born in Melbourne, Australia, but I kind of consider American?
The Kyrie.
Ben Simmons?
Kyrie.
Ben Simmons.
Kyrie, yeah. Because that was in the military, right? I kind of assume that's military. You'd think if he flew from Australia to the States, he'd realize the earth is round.
Yeah. Ben Simmons also born in Australia.
Yeah.
Both Shannon and I were right.
Simmons is on the list. Oh, yeah. Simmons, yeah. I guess I consider him Australian. I don't know, because he played there.
I believe he is Australian.
Yeah. I mean, yes. He was there for 15 years, right?
Sure.
I think so.
And, you know, our podcast strength is not knowing the home, where players are from, because I still remember being called out for dropping the Joel Embiid is from Cambodia or wherever I said. It was definitely,
I think you said Nova Scotia.
No, I had the right letter. I had the right letter. It was a yeah. C, but yeah. Definitely not from Cambodia.
No, definitely not Cambodia.
Now that your season-long fantasy basketball leagues have started, this is a great time to check out our friends at Monkey Knife Fight, the fastest-growing site in daily fantasy. The NHL and NBA are in full swing, and the NFL playoffs are here. The time is now to take advantage of a 100% instant match up to $50 on your first deposit by using our promo code WIRE. That's WIRE, as in Roto Wire. Get it? Get it? That's a free $50 in your Monkey Knife Fight account if you sign up with that promo code. We have huge NBA slates pretty much every night with the way the schedule works out this season, so there's no better time to dive into DFS. Whether you're an experienced player, just a beginner, Monkey Knife Fight is the place to play. Visit monkeyknifefight.com and use our promo code WIRE, that's W-I-R-E, WIRE, today.
All right, let's move on to the waiver wire. We talked about DeMarcus Cousins already, right? He might be available in your league.
Got to check.
If it's shallow enough, you have to check. So for people available in 50% of leagues, I'm cheating a little bit here, but Thad Young, he's rostered in 58% of Yahoo and 54% of ESPN. Right now, he's returning fifth round value over the past 2 weeks, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals on 60% shooting. The shooting's probably going to come down. I think the assists will probably come down. But we've seen Thad Young be a productive fantasy player before. And as long as Wendell Carter Jr. is out, I think he's going to keep seeing the type of minutes he's been seeing because...
Wait a minute. Wendell Carter Jr. is injured? This is shocking.
Yeah. Him and Marvin Bagley are on like the same exact kind of like, are they good or are they not? They haven't, you know, they play like 80 total games. Right. But yeah, they just don't they don't have Daniel Gafford play that much center. He plays like 18 minutes a game. Lauri Markkanen plays a lot of backup center. So a lot of times opened up for Thad Young. And he's definitely worth a spot on your roster.
Agreed.
Shannon, who do you have?
So I've got two guys who are owned in just about 50% of leagues, a little bit less than that on ESPN. Herder and Zeller. These are two guys who have both been playing well just recently. I'm going to start with Cody Zeller. You know, since he's returned from injury, he had a couple games coming off the bench, but now that he's back in the starting lineup, he's playing as good as I can ever recall Cody Zeller playing, really. Over those five games, like I said, all starts, 11 points, 11.4 points, 11 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and 1 block, and no 3-pointers. But that's the norm. But 11
I'm
and 11.
I'm shocked,
that's
Zeller.
Easy.
I'm shocked Zeller's only 28 because he looks like a 39-year-old accountant. You know, like I would trust him with my taxes.
Absolutely. It was pretty demoralizing when he dunked on Giannis the other day. It just been. yeah, I agree with you, Shannon. Zeller has looked great.
Are you guys worried about PJ Washington with Zeller back and playing well?
No, I'm not. I think PJ's going to be fine. Washington's out right now. He's missed the past couple games. I think it'll be fine. You know, Washington's not a center. As much as I was hoping the Hornets would go small and play Washington at the five, he's only 6'7", 6'8", tops. So he doesn't have the size, really, to play the five. But really, you know, if you look back at the first few games when they played together in the starting lineup, after Zeller's return to the starting lineup, Washington was fine. He averaged over about 35 fantasy points in the most three most recent games he played alongside Zeller. And that's even with his minutes somewhat down. He was still putting out productive lines.
Yeah, I enjoy the Hornets doing everything they can to try to make Cody Zeller a floor spacer. shooting over the past 3 years, he's 24 of 107 from three. So I'm not sure that's going to happen necessarily. But yeah, I'd be more worried about Biombo, essentially. I think Washington's pretty locked in. How about you, Ken? 50% of leagues, who you have?
I'm going with exactly at 50% available, Gary Trent. Massive threes. If you can take the field goal hit. If so, he's hit 4.4 threes a game and scored 18.9 points over his last seven games. CJ McCollum's out until March 10th. So if you need threes and points, it's not going to help you much elsewhere. But Gary Trent, a nice addition.
Now, let me jump in here. I want to say I agree. Gary Trent's good. I feel like he is a little bit more temporary just because I worry about his value. Yeah, I mean, streaky, obviously. And I do worry about his value once the Blazers are healthy. But for as long as he's in the starting lineup, he is absolutely worth streaming. And that kind of goes back to the Seth Curry recommendation from me, is you've got guys like Gary Trent available. Stream these guys in. Stream the guys who are in the starting lineup, picking up slack for injured teammates. Plug them in instead of Curry. And you'll be able to find a guy like Gary Trent, you know, every couple weeks.
Alex, remember me you know, when you made that trade offer in Stake League, and I'm like, I need some sweetener. I'll give you Trent for Ross. That has completely backfired. I think McCollum was healthy when I did that, but they.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ross will end up being probably the better player over the course of the whole year.
Yes, yeah, agreed.
So I'll still have to find a solution to that once McCollum.
Yeah, but you can have fun for 4 weeks here.
Now, true. before we dive into our long shots, I just want to mention Kevin Huerter. I kind of sidestepped him earlier. Oh, yeah. Kevin Huerter is the other guy I'm recommending. He is locked into the Hawks starting lineup. He started 11 games in a row. He is averaging 12 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.4 steals, and 2.3 three-pointers. The efficiency is not the best, 42% from the floor, 75% from the line, but solid all-around production. I think that continues. The Hawks have been, you know, at least for however long Bogdanovich is out, that's kind of to be determined still. But, you know, Kevin Huerter is definitely another guy who should be owned in more leagues, at least in the short term.
Shannon, when Hunter returns for Atlanta, you see that being more of an impact for Reddish than Huerter?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that impacts Reddish and Collins more than Huerter. Herter's really seen a nice bump. Like I said, since Bogdanovich has been out, there's been a couple games that Trey has sat during that 11 game stretch where Herter's had some of his bigger games. So I think he does hold value even after Hunter returns.
I was surprised Huerter played 34 minutes last night when they said he had some ankle issue. maybe I guess it's not an issue because he played a heck of a lot.
Yeah, the minutes have been there. 36 minutes per game over this 11-game stretch.
Led the team last night with 34.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you brought that up, Ken, because a lot of times, so the way the NBA injury report works now is the NBA wants you to list a player with an injury, even if it's extremely minor and it's like barely even a thing, just for like integrity purposes. And so sometimes, like, LeBron has been listed with that ankle injury for a month and a half, maybe.
So I've been listed with a sore back for 2 years on the NBA injury report.
Yeah. So sometimes when guys have injuries, they're not real injuries. They're real, but they almost have no chance of sitting out. Okay, so my long shot of the week, I have DeAnthony Melton from the Grizzlies. He's rostered in 35% of Yahoo leagues, but only 19% of ESPN leagues. Over the past 2 weeks, he's returning sixth-round value, 14 points, 4.5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2.8 threes, and 2.0 stocks. This isn't crazy for him. We've seen him do this before. Last year, Melton played a lot of minutes. Not a lot, but like 20 minutes a game. And we saw from him that he was one of the best defenders in the backcourt, where he averaged 2.5 steals per 36. And they paid him, too. Like, over the offseason, they gave him a 4-year, $35 million contract. So the Grizzlies certainly believe in him. And I think he's worth adding.
Agree.
Okay. Shannon, yeah, who do you have?
So I have Theo Maledon, rookie point guard for the OKC Thunder. French point guard. He's impressed me recently. He essentially was promoted to the starting lineup after George Hill was ruled out. He's started 5 games now. Over that 5-game stretch, he's averaged 30 minutes, 11.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, just under 3 assists, 2 steals per game, and 2.6 three-pointers. I am of the opinion that he is going to be locked into the starting lineup for the remainder of the season for the Thunder. They're clearly a rebuilding team. You have a 19-year-old point guard that you selected early in the second round who's showing promise. I think SGA probably works better with a guard like this alongside him rather than Hill or Dort. I just like the fit with those guys. I also should be mentioned SGA is currently out. Which is bummed.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah, he missed the previous game and he's out tonight as well. So that bumps up Maledon's immediate value significantly. But I don't expect gigantic numbers. I just think there's enough upside here. He's going to hit threes. He's going to get steals and enough upside. And the fact that there's a strong possibility he sticks in the starting lineup long term, that he's worth a look, even in a lot of 12 team leagues.
So you think rest of season, Shannon, we see more from Maledon than Diallo, their 22-year-old?
I'm very high on Diallo as well. I like them both rest of season. I think both are going to be better than what they've been to date because I think a guy like Dort is going to lose minutes to Diallo eventually. But I would pick Maledon over Diallo if I have to pick between those two rest of season.
All right. I'll dive into my long shot of the week. I already said it, though. Jason Tate, Houston, managed on only 5% of teams. So, yeah, available in 95% of leagues. 25-year-old rookie from Ohio State has started 11 of Houston's last 12 games. Scored a career-high 19 points with 7 boards last night, as well as 3 stocks. Played 31 minutes. We talked about Wood. Christian Wood could be out for a spell for the Rockets. So I like his potential, especially if you need stocks. So over those 12 games, he's had 1.9 blocks and steals per game, over 28 minutes per contest. In the last 4 games, he's averaged 6.8 rebounds. So I like the field goal percentage too. So Jason Tate, take a flyer. He's got 4 games next week.
Yeah, the 4-game week is huge. Yeah, he's a solid player. I mean, we saw him like when Houston had a ton of injuries, like he jumped into the lineup and was playing really well immediately. you know, you knew that that the team liked him. So this is a good sign for sure. Do you have a in our document, Ken, you have a dull suggestion for us?
Yeah, I'm not sure if this will be a weekly regular, but I seem to be the guy who always takes the extremely dull free agent available. And this week, that's Jamichael Green of your Denver Nuggets. He's available in 86% of leagues. And while he's a power forward, he's hitting three-pointers. Since January 1, he's averaging 2.1 triples a game, as well as 6.7 rebounds. Got his first start of the season last night with Gary Harris out and Barton moving to shooting guard. Anyway, very dull player, but Jamichael Green is my dull suggestion of the week.
He's dull, but Michael Malone hates Michael Porter Jr. So
maybe he should. Porter hasn't been playing well. You know, maybe he's sleepy. Maybe he's not 100% healthy either. Maybe he's got the curry.
The RotoWire NBA podcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That is why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when you placed your first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use promo code ROTO, that's ROTO, R-O-T-O, to claim your free subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, and 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada.
Okay, let's move on to DFS. It's a pretty big slate today. It is 9 games. I don't see any postponements. Highest over unders, Toronto at Brooklyn, 241. And you probably shouldn't feel terrible about taking the over. Not saying I would, but there's reason to do it. And then Washington at Miami is at 230 for an over under. And that's the only other game with an over under of at least 230.
That Wizards defense, baby.
Main injuries: D'Angelo Russell is questionable, Jaylen Brown and Colin Sexton are questionable, Towns is still out, Gilgeous Alexander's out, Smart's out, Nance is out, Aaron Gordon is out, and there are plenty of other just kind of lesser rotation guys out.
Alex,
so keep that in mind.
We brought up the Wizards defense. I just have to state, I had a high school buddy of mine had to call me on the phone last night just to vent for 10 minutes about how bad Bertans is on defense. It was a 10-minute conversation. Multiple examples. He didn't even bring up the weird finger, but Bertans seems to be the signed his contract fat and happy player of the year.
So you don't think he was worth like $60 million is what you're saying?
Right. When they could have also traded him when he was hot last year at the deadline.
Yeah.
No. He is not worth his, I'm looking it up, 5-year, $80
million. Oh, 80, my bad.
Million. He's got 9.5 fingers.
Yeah, he's 28.
I don't know. 28? Yeah.
It's not like Bertans is like a, it's not like he's a 23-year-old. You know what I mean? And you're like, well, maybe, you know, 5 years down the line.
Don't you wish you were in the meeting where they're like, we need to build around Davis Bertans. Get me the checkbook.
Yeah.
The Latvian laser. Shannon, are we going overboard? Are we being too mean to Bertans?
Not at all. Not at all.
my friend was demanding they play Matthews instead. That Matthews Garrison Matthews at least has some upside, and in his words, can move.
Yeah.
Which is a low bar, frankly. But anyway, I'm killing time here. Sorry. Shannon, let's dive into your first pick because I think you mentioned him already today on the show.
Yeah, Theo Maledon, 4,800 on FanDuel. You know, like we mentioned, SGA is out. George Hill's out. He's pretty much locked into like 30
minutes
plus
galore. Yeah, right.
Minutes are going to be there. You know, the steals are a nice little bonus on FanDuel. He had 6 steals in his most recent start. You know, scoring's going to be up and down, but I think with the defensive stats and just the minutes, he's a pretty safe play at 4,800.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off that. I think Kenrich Williams and Hamidou Diallo are both good plays as well for OKC. Kenrich Williams is only he's only 3,500. Yeah, 3,500. He put up 28 fantasy points last game. The minutes are only around 20, so that's definitely a risk, but he's a great rebounder, so he can always sneak into some points as well. And then
it's not
Diallo.
Like the Minnesota defense is going to be in lockdown mode.
No.
They're done for the year.
Yeah. Diallo has the minutes. He's played 33. He played 33 last game, had 3 steals, 6 turnovers as well, so he has way more upside if he can control the ball a little bit better. Ken, who do you have as a value play?
I'm going to stick to the Dull theme and go with Dull Old Man Norman Powell for the Raptors. A little high for a value pick at 6,400. He's starting, though, with OG out for the Raptors. You just mentioned the huge over-under. Was it 241, 287, something?
241.
Yeah. Anyway, they need buckets to keep up with Brooklyn. I see Powell having a crazy amount of field goal attempts tonight. I'm gonna run with Norman Powell. I also applaud any NBA player named Norman.
Yeah, Norman Powell is definitely a guy who's going to age into his name because he's only 27 right now. That doesn't seem right. I can't imagine like a 14-year-old named Norman. Like when he was a kid.
He's gotta have multiple Normans in the family tree. Who's like, who at the hospital's like, you know, it'd be fun to bring into the family. Well, how about a Norman? He looks like a Norman.
His middle name is WC. So that's interesting. Shannon, you have one of your you have Jeremy Grant of your Detroit Pistons.
Oh, your love-hate relationship grows.
His salary's gone down. He's at 6,800 now. I mean, this is a guy who was like 8,000 just 10 days ago. I'm confused as to why he's gone down in price so much. I think he's by far one of the most obvious discounts on this slate for Friday night. He had a couple bad outings, 26 fantasy points, 21 fantasy points against LA and Golden State. But then he bounced back, and against Utah, he had almost 46 fantasy points. You know, the matchup's not great. Phoenix is good defensively, especially against threes. But Grant went off for 49 fantasy points against him just 3-4 weeks ago. You know, Grant is one of the safer fantasy plays of the season. He has 32 or more fantasy points in all but 3 games this year. You know, there's also a good chance Blake Griffin sits either tonight or tomorrow because the Pistons have back-to-back games. So it's to be determined.
Over 17 shot attempts. He's got to lead the Pistons in shot attempts by a large margin, right?
Yes, he does.
17 plus per.
The volume's going to be there. The usage, the volume's going to be there. The minutes are going to be there. The only risk that there really is with Grant, to me, is the blowout potential. Because this is a team that is going to get blown out on a pretty regular basis. But 6,800, I have to plug him into my lineup at that price.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, I don't know why his price is so low. I lost it. But Nick Vucevic going against Chicago. Yeah, again, I kind of touched on they don't really have a real center situation like right now. Like, I like Daniel Gafford, but he's not going to stop Vucevic. And then I also like Gordon Hayward going up against the Utah Jazz, just kind of a former team thing. Objectively, it's not a great matchup for him, but they also don't have like elite wing defenders. So I think he can. He's a fine play.
While we're at center, my toss-up value was either Powell or Al Horford at only 6,300 going against Minnesota without Karl-Anthony Towns. Naz Reid, I'm not saying Horford's an all-star or anything, but lots of shots, no SGA in that game. Terrible defense by the T-Wolves. Horford slowly turning it around after that long absence. Remember, the absence was for personal reasons, the birth of, I think, their son, maybe a daughter, not sure, but a baby. So it's not like he's hurt or anything. He is old, though.
Yeah. Only 6,300. So that's actually a pretty good deal.
Okay. Who else do you have, Ken?
I'm tempted. I might regret this. But take a gamble on Chris Boucher, 4,700. I know he hasn't been great lately, but how is there a role for Aaron Baines tonight against the Nets? I mean, how many points? Raptors are going to have to put up 130 points or so to have a chance against the Nets tonight. They need every weapon they can. I don't see, you know, especially with Jeff Green getting a lot of minutes at center, it seems like a ideal opportunity for the Raptors to get Boucher back to his hot ways.
Yeah, Boucher kind of played himself out of the most improved player discussion entirely, which is crazy.
I don't see Baines switching on Durant. I don't see that going well.
No, I think that's a good call. 4,700, you put him in there, it's not going to destroy your lineup if he has a bad game, right? And for Boucher, a bad game is still like 12 to 19 fantasy points. So you're getting something from him.
I've got a question for you guys for this. Yeah. I'm with you, Alex, on Vucevic. I've got him. He and Grant were two of the pillars of my lineup that I'm constructing for tonight on FanDuel. But who else can we go with on Orlando to take advantage of the absence of Markelle Fultz, the absence of Aaron Gordon? Like who else? You've got this team with a great matchup against Chicago Bulls, but I am having a hard time picking a second player from the Magic.
You don't like Fournier at 6,700.
If he were $1,000 cheaper, I would like him.
Yeah, man, Fournier. Fournier should be the guy. I mean, he has upside for 40, but at 7,000 or close to 7,000, upside at 40 isn't like crazy as kind of expected. And I mean, we know the backcourt defense of Chicago is bad. So Cole Anthony's an option, but he has struggled to get past 25 fantasy points on a regular basis. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like, you can always take a flyer on Terrence Ross. But again, he hasn't been particularly hot either.
Yep. Yeah, I've taken that flyer on Ross multiple times in the past week or so, and I'm not feeling it. And then, you know, even at the four spot, you know, with Aaron Gordon out, you know, they're starting Gary Clark, or at least he started the most recent game. He had an explosive 13.5 fantasy points in that outing in 25 minutes.
Which probably surpassed Bacon, so they were like, what the heck? Yeah, put a Clark.
This is the first time I've ever tried to say this guy's name, but Chuma Okeke, is that
the rookie. The injury. Rookie? Sort of rookie, because they stashed him and injury and I don't know. But yeah.
He is at he played 18 minutes in that game.
I kind of assume though he's not 100% health. Like, I think it's a gradual play.
Yes.
I don't see them throwing 30 at him anytime soon.
Well, I think the most obvious option when you're looking at their front court, Birch is the guy that you see plugged into a lot of DFS lineups. And he's been sneaky productive this year. You know, he's been getting a pretty solid 22, 23 minutes per game, 7 and 6. Has a lot of nights where he scores 20 to 25 fantasy points. But oddly enough, the games that Gordon has missed, Birch has basically laid an egg three times with Gordon out already this year. And it worries me. Like, I don't think he's the option. They actually play him less when Gordon's out. It's like Birch and Vooch just do not mesh well as a front court pairing. So I am struggling to come up with another option from that Orlando game. But I do think all of these options that we just listed are at least worth consideration given the matchup.
I also have so we can't find a Magic, but I also have a question for you guys. I was kind of high on Butler, but he's at 8,500. But mostly just because he's playing Washington. And I know my friend's going to call me again when he drains a three in front of Bertans. who's slow on a switch. But we like Jeremy Grant at 6,800 better, I presume.
I do. I like Grant better. I like Hayward better. I like Middleton better. Like, give me those cheaper options over Butler.
I think if you're doing a GPP and Jimmy Butler's your most expensive guy, I think that's fine. Because we know he can go for like 55 to 60 fantasy points. So if you throw him in as your top guy and then build around that, you know, with some like bunch of mid tier plays, I actually think that would work out pretty well. So I think that's a good call, Ken. Because if you throw him in your lineup, you know, then you have room for guys like, you have a ton of room for guys like Diallo and Jeremy Grant, and you can probably still fit in someone like maybe even, you know, Tatum.
I've got room for LaVine, 8,900.
Yeah.
Orlando's backcourt defense stinks as well, so I don't know.
Okay, is there anybody else, you guys, that anyone else catching your mind, or should we move on? I think we move on.
All right.
Ken, your old man rant.
Yeah. You know what burns my britches? Major League Baseball. They've had all offseason to work out a new collective bargaining agreement for 2022 and beyond, but haven't made any progress whatsoever. We don't even know yet if the National League will have a DH or not this year. The NBA, NHL, and NFL all have their act together, yet baseball owners and players continue to whine like schoolchildren. In July, middle of a pandemic, the NHL added a four-year extension to their CBA. The NBA is set through 2024. Last February, the NFL worked out a 10-year agreement. 10 years! Yet baseball owners and players seem to think it's 1950 and MLB is still number one. Well, let me tell you, it ain't. Per a Gallup poll dating back to 1937, baseball has been on a downward trend since 1948 per the simple question, what is your favorite sport to watch? Basketball passed baseball in 2017. I don't want to hear billionaires fight with millionaires. Get your act together, baseball. Sign a deal and speed up your woefully slow game.
I think
torn because old people generally like baseball, but I wanted to vent.
I can't remember the last time I watched a full baseball game that I wasn't at. Sat down and watched a whole game.
There's a fantastic Simpsons clip where Homer promises Marge he'll give up beer for a month, and he goes to a baseball game, and they pan back, and the entire section is drinking beer but Homer, and they're all drinking in unison. And then they have the fake Vin Scully voice go, and the pitcher goes to the rosin bag, and he goes to it again. And he's like, and Homer just goes, I never realized how boring this game was.
I love baseball. I'm super excited to watch my Tigers play, see a lineup of Nico Goodrum, you know, 78-year-old Miguel Cabrera.
Who turns it around quicker?
Robbie Grossman, Jacoby Jones, Victor Reyes.
You really signed Robbie Grossman.
Oh, man.
Who turns it around sooner, Pistons or Tigers, Shannon?
Tigers. Tigers have, sorry, listeners. Tigers' top five prospects are as good as any other team's top five prospects. They don't have good prospect depth, but their top five prospects are all super legit.
All right. Okay, thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast presented by BetMGM and Monkey Knife Fight. Ken, take us out of here.
Oh, boy, I forgot to pick a quote out.
Let's go with
Anthony Davis Sr. on why he doesn't want his son to be traded to the Celtics. This is obviously when Anthony Davis Jr. was still with the Pelicans. Boston, I would never want my son to play for Boston after what they done to Isaiah Thomas. No loyalty. Guy gives his heart and soul and they traded him. Anyone can print that. Attention! I gotta scroll up. Attention! Passengers! This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line!